Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And the NBA Finals are underway. We got Game 3 possibly happening by the time you've heard this. Actually, yeah, it will have happened by the time you've heard this. It has happened, and we will wildly speculate what has happened there. But we
it's
are
mostly
also
going to be about Game 3, even though you have seen it. We have not.
Oh,
that's what
my
this episode
goodness.
Is going to be
Can
about.
You believe Klay went 36 for 36? Unbelievable. But we are joined by Utah Jazz beat writer and co-host of the Unsalvageable podcast, Sarah Todd. I'm Miles Gray.
And I'm Jack O'Brien.
And this is
Miles and Jack.
Got Matt Boosties. Perfect.
Perfectly in sync. Nailed it once again.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, Sarah. I know we said that this was a silly podcast hosted by dummies, but I think I'm glad that you got to see it in person.
Yes.
Yeah, that nailed that intro.
That was really beautiful. I mean, it went along. I mean, the way you described the show to me, it fits so seamlessly.
To a broadcast professional such as yourself, this must be eye-opening. So this is your job, you're saying to yourself, I'm assuming. But thank you so much for taking the time to be on our silly show.
Yeah.
And no problem.
NBA Finals.
I'm honored.
Oh, thank you, Sarah. And we're honored by our shared love of David Cross that we discovered right before we started recording. Finals. Sarah, what you thinking?
Thoughts?
NBA, right?
NBA.
I mean, come on.
Okay, who's in it? The Warriors and the Celtics. This sounds like a good matchup, huh?
Is it weird if I just start out by saying that I really love this Celtics team?
No, that's great. And actually, we have had a severe drought of Celtics love on the podcast. So I'm glad that you said that. And let's dig into it. Tell us what you love.
I mean, our good friend Jabari Davis will know that I'm a huge and longtime Larry Bird fan. I've never been like a Celtics fan. I grew up more of a Players fan. And so he was one of my favorite players. But that's neither here nor there. This Celtics team is really exciting to me. Like, I love Marcus Smart. I love Jason Tatum. I love Jaylen Brown. I am excited that Al Horford seems to not be washed.
Yeah. That was especially nice for a Sixers fan to see. I love that.
And I mean, as someone that covers the Jazz, I tell people all the time, like, Al Horford is a perfect example of Mike Conley might not be washed. He just might not be for you. You know?
Right. Yeah.
And so, maybe Mike Conley will spread his tiny little wings and go elsewhere and look great, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be with the Jazz. And I mean, I don't have a lot of hope for Al Horford outside of this year. I think he's, you know, Father Time's undefeated, but he looks great and he's got really long eyelashes and that makes me jealous all the time. And so
beautiful eyes
and eyelashes, which is really important in the game. People don't give that enough credit.
Defenders often get lost in them. Game one was super impressive. He took the game over. I have to say, it's been two runs have like defined game one and game two. The Celtics fourth quarter run was, I was like, that's it. Celtics in four. That's like, I thought the series was over because I was like, when they do that, and I've thought this every time I've seen them play dominant, I've seen every team like play well, and nobody plays as well as they do when they've got it going. I feel
like. He hit what, 6 3-pointers in that first game? And then, completely just dominated that run. I just want to say about Al Horford, as somebody who went to UCLA and watched him beat us, and also being a lifelong Laker fan and watching him come to life as a geriatric millennial in the Celtics, I've immediately been like, I don't care about those things, because now I have generational like camaraderie and allegiance to Al Horford, where I'm like, you go out, go and show them.
I felt really proud of him. I was watching game one with my dad and my stepmom, who are both 83 years old. And I was yelling at the TV like, he's so old, but he can still do it. He's so old. Look at that old man go. And then they're like, how old is he? And I was like, I don't know, like younger than me.
5 years younger than me, yeah. I think.
36. Yeah. He just turned 36.
Turned 36, so. Yeah.
Good for you.
And Al. It's not like his hitting threes, like I expect him to, you know, have his moments where he gets open from three and their offense was really clicking. His defense was like, that is hard to just pick up like an extra gear on defense when you're 36, but his defense was like really, I mean, I think that's also the thing that I'm reacting to when I'm seeing them and I'm like calling it Celtics in four, that they defend, every single person on the floor defends like at a shutdown level at when they've got it going. And like, I don't think there's anyone else. And then their offense is like really, can be pretty unstoppable.
It's a series that I've long been a believer that great offense is not going to be as good as great defense. I like defense better. And so it's a great series to kind of maybe give a data point to that argument, because whoever comes out of this, like they're, like you said, the Celtics have a great offense and then on top of that have like the best defense in the year, like in the league this year. The Warriors have always had a great offense. They're not slouches on defense. So they're like well matched. So it's like, is it going to be like the offensive juggernaut of Golden State, or is it going to be the defensive juggernaut of the Celtics? And so I hope that
there's this thing I've been saying for years that defense wins championships.
Yeah.
you know, offense might win some games, but defense wins championships. I don't know if you've seen my t-shirts, but that's a phrase I came up with a couple years back.
Yeah.
So what should we talk about? Should we talk about, I mean, Steph opened up game one, making 6 threes in the first, especially felt like he was on some next level stuff when he passed it to Clay in the corner and then just turned and started running back down court as Clay like shot and made the three. It was like a level of confidence in himself and his team that was pretty like that's usually like, I don't know what they reserve for when they're like putting a team down.
Right.
At the end of a game.
And Green with a quick outlet to Curry.
Hands it to Clay and just runs away.
Yeah.
Just look at the confidence. You've seen this movie before. His ability to come down, throw it, and look away. He's not even going.
He's like,
sometimes
he's open
sneak
enough.
Peek.
He's getting back.
He's not even paying attention.
It's like the level of, I don't even know if he shot it, but all I know is I got him the ball down there and I'm just going to, all right, I'm going to
head on
out.
Yeah, we're good here. I think we're good
he
here.
He finished his job.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He's like, I did my part. And he does the easy bit in the corner like that.
He finds out 3 possessions later that he missed it. Yeah. He's like, wait, you missed that? Sorry, I was just checking the score. I couldn't. And then, yeah, then the run started in the fourth quarter. I mean, it really felt like it had the rhythm of a lot of Warriors wins, right? Where they're like up 10, you know, the other team like comes back, but then they kind of close them out at the end. And then it was like minutes and the Celtics were up 10. It was truly because, and that's what, like when I'm talking about the Celtics dominance, it's not just that they're making a run on offense, it's they're making a run on offense and it completely extinguishing your offense on the other end in a way that's like demoralizing. It's like you're not even really getting a shot or like you're throwing it up as the shot clock expires.
Which feels appropriate because it feels like, you know, game two, kind of some lessons were learned from that game one, maybe.
They had a lid on the basket. Like it just felt like everything that they were able, like small things, like little runners or floaters that like would almost be like given points for the Celtics. Like they were missing everything.
Yeah. And then like when Golden State got it going, so that would be the second run of the first two games when it got to the point that at the end of the third quarter, Jordan Poole had the ball and was dribbling it up, was defended by a couple different people, was dribbling, you know, around them like they were parking cones. And then pulled up from midcourt, and as it was leaving his hand, I had no doubt in my mind that that was going in.
100%.
That's actually my like what's dope of the past week was him just pulling up and the confidence that I had that was going in.
I never saw a game end at the end of the third quarter before,
but it kind of felt like that.
It was like full on like. Put the extinguish the flame with that because there really was no coming back. And yeah, there was just something about watching that go in, just being, you know, feeling like you're completely powerless to the inevitability of that shot.
Yeah, in all honesty, I didn't watch the fourth quarter because I fully was like, well, this game's over, and just walked away.
Right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I actually rewatched the third quarter because our dinner had just come. And so, like, I was just checking in and I was like, okay, they're up 10. Like, it looks like it's going to, you know, it's going to be a similar position heading into the fourth quarter. And then I came back in and they were up like 20 and they, like, Jordan Poole was making a shot from midcourt. And then I had to show my dad, who's in town, and like rewind it. And as I was rewinding it, I was like, look how quick this run happens. And I went back to like the 5-minute mark because I thought that's when it started.
It starts
and then
at
the Celtics make another couple threes. And I was like, oh, wait, like this. So they were only up 6 when the run started and the run happened in like 2.5 minutes. It was pretty wild.
Should we check out that that dagger, deep range dagger?
Yeah.
For old time's sakes?
Yeah. Let's do it. From deep. Celtics get a good look at it. Here comes Jordan.
Giving you a couple.
Oh no!
Yerp.
Also, like the crossover move to do a crossover like that, like a step in front of the half court line, is so indignant.
It's almost too like he was doing a step back to make sure he was behind the 3-point line too.
Yeah,
right.
Like, it didn't even have like the sort of. Like the body shape momentum of someone like just throwing it up like with their forward body momentum.
He
like,
meant to do
on,
that.
Let me come back and just give you that.
It was the first step back that almost created a backcourt violation.
For real.
It was cool. And they made it look so easy and Steph was making, you know, some of his ridiculous deep threes that I started like looking at their shooting splits to see like so. Are they like 50% from like beyond 35 feet?
Yeah, they're over
like
30,
can this
over 33 feet. They're shooting 80%. No, I'm just huh?
But like, could this be a weapon? Could this be what they just do from now on? Is they just start coming down and pulling up from the logo?
Oh man, that's a pretty far shot, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's what we were saying. Like the thing for us about that shot, Sarah, is like that was so far. Like they shot it from so far. That was literally our commentary on it before you joined. And then we decided to try and act smarter, but
no, you're
literally
right.
All we could say was that was so far.
Yeah. Oh my God. That was so far. Miles, did you see how far that was?
No, dude, that's not fair. That's so far.
That was so far. Like when oh my God.
That's not a three-pointer. It should be a far-pointer.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah. And that's why you came to this podcast. Yeah. Thanks. All right. That
this
was our last
really
episode.
This is really fun, guys, but look at the time.
Just like in watching this, though, too, before I feel like we didn't really quite predict an outcome, Jack, we were just like, I can see either team winning, but I could honestly really see a reality where the Celtics win. Sarah, did you have a prediction after these first two games or before going into it? And has that changed after, you know, obviously game as we record this, game three hasn't been played, but just off the strength of the first two?
Yeah, before the series started, I had said Celtics in seven. And so I'm just going to stand by that.
I'm Celtics in six.
Yeah.
And I stand by that. I think what we've seen so far.
Yeah, I'm afraid to articulate anything out loud for the universe to deliver the opposite. So I'm going to say those sound good.
Okay. Those sound great. Pretty good. Strong take from Miles Gray.
I just don't want to say I need to prevent an 18th ring, Warriors, please. And then it's going to be hard cut to green and white confetti falling onto my sweaty face as I watch another banner go up.
This Celtics team, like these players, are not the players that have the championship banners in the Boston Garden, right? So that's a new team. But like, it's either going to the Celtics who have won a ton of titles, or like the Warriors dynasty team that has already won a bunch of titles. So like, either way.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Green and white confetti falling on your sweaty faces. You eat mom's spaghetti. I mean, I thought that's where you're going with it.
Those are the lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to lose yourself in that moment, I'll tell you that much.
I'm worried about Jason Tatum's shoulder.
Okay, so in that game too, I feel like Wiggins was like molecularly attached to him.
Yeah.
And it was like he couldn't shake him. Like no matter how many screens, like he was just like, it was clear what the assignment was for Wiggins. How much of that did you feel like you're like, he's carrying something? Are we giving anything to that defense? How do you look at that?
I feel like I noticed it a lot more when the Celtics were on defense. Like, like he wasn't like up in guys as much as he has been in the past, at least through, you know, the playoffs. And on some of the switches or even like just some of like pin downs, and then they have a guy coming around like sort of back door, but it's a decoy. Like he was just like motionless in those moments and just like letting guys get through. And then I'd see him like running down the court to the other side, like touching his shoulder. And then, and I'm just like, get him out of there. He's hurting and he's hurting the team.
Now, if movies have taught me anything, he just needs to slam his shoulder into a barrier of some sort and then scream really loud, and then it'll be back to normal.
No, I love that. I love that as a solution.
Yeah. The Mel Gibson, the Lethal Weapon 2 approach.
For an elite athlete. Yeah, just smash it a bunch against this locker. yeah, how about this? Please, Jason, no. What do you know? You're just a physio.
Oh, that's really funny. I don't watch movies, and very famously have not seen almost any movies that anyone ever wants to talk about. But Lethal Weapon 2 is like right up my alley, and I have seen that.
There you go. Hey.
Oh my. Sarah, perfect guest so far. Flawless guest.
Flawless right.
I'm like, do you guys want to talk about Senseless or Lethal Weapon?
With Marlon Wayans and David Spade?
Well, Marlon Wayans, David Spade, and Matthew, what's his name? He was in 13 Ghosts also.
Matthew McConaughey?
No, he plays the... In Senseless, he plays the...
Matthew Lillard. Yeah.
I was thinking of Ghosts of Boyfriends Past. Look at me over here.
Another great film.
Supposed to be the movie buff. And I'm, Matthew Lillard, also one of our greats.
Just to keep it in basketball, he's a distant cousin of Damian Lillard.
That doesn't feel true.
Okay, maybe not, but I thought I would just take a swing on that.
You just made that up to try. Hey, it's an NBA podcast, and I don't know, man.
You like to do stuff. You just like to throw stuff out there. Maybe it sticks. Maybe it doesn't. In some universe, Dame Time and Shaggy from the Scooby-Doo movies
are cousins. Should. I mean, they need to collab on a song. We were actually just talking before you got on about, like, I've heard people throw around Dame as the best, like, NBA rapper currently doing it. We're not going to dig into that because that is an off-season episode.
But, for sure.
Yeah. All right, should we take a break? Come back, talk about your favorite moment from the first couple games, Miles, and then we'll dig into your backstory, Sarah, and your life covering the NBA.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
And we are back. I know we were talking about, Jack, your favorite moment was that pool three just splashing in the pool. But there was this one moment that I felt like so many people were talking about it on the internet of, you know, Draymond Green was a big talking point in game two. Like, what's he doing? This guy's playing football out there. And this one moment.
You do exclusively consume these games via the Celtics Reddit forum. So
look. Everybody's getting by how they can when their team's not in the offseason. Okay. And this one clip seemed to inspire much anger. And look, there's nothing like seeing Draymond just kind of pushing your team around down the court just so the greatest shooter of all time can have a nice open three.
I mean, it wasn't open, but
yeah.
So he could have a split second where he had a angle where he could take the shot like Top Gun style.
Desperation from behind, but yet nothing could happen. So let's just enjoy this moment, Steph.
So Steph's bringing it up. Draymond's kind of pops out the screen for him.
He's like, hey man, get out the way. My friend Steph wants to take a shot. Boom.
It's straight up. Let's just watch it one more time. Just follow Draymond on this. So he pops out, screens Steph's guy, screens his own man, but like the screen is just pushing them backwards like a bouncer.
Yeah, hey big man, sorry man, my little bro wants to take a shot. It really felt like being at like a basketball court where you play with bigger kids, and there's just like the one older kid who's like, let my little brother take a shot, don't block it, and you're like, ah.
But like I was saying, so I feel like Draymond is the Warriors dude, Marcus Smart is the Celtics dude, and these are the people who it looks like they're out there like walking right up to the line, you know, maybe dancing on it a little more in Draymond's case, but I feel like they're the people who have studied like what is a foul and what isn't, like more than anybody else, and are like, this is not just being done by accident. They're also like the smartest players out there. And like, you know, the people who the other team, if you're rooting for the other team, you do not like these guys.
Yeah. You know, and those are the teams you always want on your team down the road.
Those dudes, yeah. They're the, like, it reminded me of like Rodman with the second three-peat for the Bulls, like Laimbeer with the Pistons. We're trying to do it for like every kind of dynasty or championship team. I guess Sheed with the Pistons or Ben Wallace with the Pistons. The Pistons, that second run of the Pistons were just kind of a lot of these dudes. Yeah. Bird was kind of that guy, like for the Celtics. He was just, you know, really rough, and
he would
like,
just
smart.
Punch people though.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, I asked Jabari and Miles who it was for the Lakers dynasty, and you guys were saying Rick Fox and Big Shot Bob, or
yeah,
and then Meta for the later ones.
Again, a player who I despised until he showed up in our uniform, and you're like, that's why.
That much
and
more.
Because there's nothing worse than having those players that energetically change the game. Like Draymond said after game two, he's like, in game one, it felt like they didn't feel us. They didn't feel our presence. And I wouldn't be able to go to sleep if we lost these finals and knowing we didn't actually let them know that we are here. You are playing against us. And when you see, again, like what that does to a team, and especially just as a fan watching, that frustration from a player kind of getting in someone's head, it's a very potent force. And I think that's it's nice to kind of see that kind of really take center stage in the series, because I really appreciate.
And there's like really smart stuff too, like what you're talking about is when you're saying knowing kind of where the line is and like how much you can push certain refs, but also like Draymond, Marcus Smart, especially Draymond in this case, like he knows when he gets an early tech, like that might be an actual tactic, right? Because if he knows that if he gets an early tech, that sort of the ticky tack stuff that he might get a technical for in other games, they won't give it to him for the next three quarters because like that will be taken into consideration. Like they're not going to eject him for like, you know, a taunting foul.
Right. And he also seems to have like refined it for himself too, because there's been times when he does get ejected and that may change the entire complexion of a series.
Absolutely.
And I think that's also, you know, I think everyone's kind of going in with their new lessons. But yeah, it's always good to see.
All right, Sarah. So you have what I think a lot of people would consider one of the best jobs in the world, which is getting to watch basketball for a living, see these guys in person. And something I always like to ask people who get to do that is there a player who you feel like people have to see in person or should have caught in person, like just over your career?
There's a lot of times that I've thought that about a lot of different players. I mean, I used to think that about LeBron, like watching him in person. My first couple of years covering the league it's just unreal. Yeah. It's unreal because like you don't understand like what 6'9", 280 and 4% body fat looks like.
And faster than anybody.
Right. Until like you see him like stretching before a game and like his legs are like the size of my entire body. And I'm like, I just like don't understand how this physiologically works.
Right. And right.
Other guys that I've thought that about are. I think it's guys that I've been able to watch on a consistent basis. So it's like, you know, if you watch Klay Thompson on one night or another and you don't see him around every day, you might catch a good game of his, but like if you were to watch him every single night, watch 82 games of Klay Thompson, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's so underrated defensively, and at least he was, you know, before the ACL and the Achilles, right?
Right.
And then I also saw him, I was in the building the night that he scored 37 points in a quarter, and like it is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Like all of the rules about being a member of like press row and like trying to keep it professional, all of that went out the window. Everyone that was,
you're just throwing beers everywhere.
Everyone like, that was
jumping on the people.
Hey, give me your beer.
Yeah, it was. We were all like screaming. Yo. Like we were watching a dunk contest and like, just in awe of what was happening because it didn't make sense. And it's, you know, people forget that it wasn't just 37 points in a quarter. It wasn't even the whole quarter. It was like 9 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Right.
But like, yeah, that's what
forgive my ignorance. What's usually like the decorum or you know, what's the sense of decorum with the press?
Like no celebrating, like no overreacting. Like sometimes someone makes like a huge dunk or a crazy play, and we're like, oh, okay,
but
and then pretend to take notes on it. Like, wow.
And you're texting like, he just caught the body.
Clickety clack. Oh, that looked great. That's what I'll write. that shot was good. so far. yeah, so you just, I mean, you're mostly, it's just about like not overreacting. You're being, you're you're doing a job. But like in that moment, we were fans of the game because it was just insane. It was mayhem. It was insane what was happening. So that's something that I'm always going to remember. And also Joel Embiid is one that I think everybody should see because if people, especially from like fans of the Western Conference, you get to see the Eastern Conference players even less. And if you can go and watch that guy play a game, he's so impressive.
The touch.
Yeah, you
watching somebody that size with that touch and that footwork is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I played against Joel a little bit. No, I didn't.
Oh my god.
Yeah, just getting to watch him like from 15 rows back is pretty cool because you get a better sense of scale. I got to see LeBron up close at, I think it was the Summer League in Boston, his rookie year. And even then, like I could not believe what I was seeing. But yeah, the Clay thing though is, I mean, that has always stuck out to me as when he gets locked in, it's otherworldly. And the fact that you were there for that in person, like I feel like I would be almost like a little bit like, I would feel like it was spooky. Like I would be like creeped out a little bit. I'd be like, yo.
I've told this story before. I left the arena that night and I cried in the parking lot.
Wow. Cause you're just so moved.
Yeah. Cause I was like, I felt what you were saying. Like, I'm so lucky that this is my job. And like, you know, like everyone else in the world, there are things that I complain about with my job, but I am completely aware of the privilege that like I get to watch this type of athletic greatness. And I left the arena that night. I was like, I got paid to look at that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. What were my life. Do you remember like a given reaction to like people in press row, like after he, like when he was just, cause at the end there, it was when you're playing NBA Jam and you know that the computer is basically like glitching and you can just like touch it like with it, just boom, hit the A button real quick boom, and it's gonna go, it's going
right.
up.
Yeah.
And it's just gonna go up and like he doesn't even really, you don't have to like be squared up, you don't even have to, you just like tap it and the second it leaves your hand, you know it's going in. And that was like how he was shooting at the end. Mm-hmm. It was like he was just flicking it towards the basket
because
he was like, yeah, no, I don't know, man, it's just, it's weird, but everything that leaves my hands going in this NBA game as I'm being guarded by people with 7'1" wingspans. Do you remember like how other people were reacting or like what?
Yeah, there's one moment that sticks out because kind of through the whole thing, all of us were like looking side to side at each other and we were quite, and it was like, we were all so confused. We were just like, wait, what? Did that happen? What? And then there was a moment, I'm sure that it, you know, you can find it on YouTube where there's a whistle or a dead ball for some reason. And he shoots after the whistle and it goes in and the building erupted like he'd hit the winning shot during a game 7 in the finals. And I remember, I'm pretty sure that it was Danny LaRue who was sitting next to me and he had like a notebook and he just like threw it up and got up and walked away. And I was like, that's the right response.
And he's never been seen again.
Yeah, good.
That was the last anyone ever saw of Danny LaRue. Yeah. He just walked off muttering into the,
like Forrest Gump, just all overgrown and stuff. It's like, and he hasn't stopped walking since.
Yeah.
But it is like one of those things like magic, right? Like when someone's doing a magic trick and they go, pick a card, any card, and then they put it back and they shuffle it, and then they go, "Is this your card? No. Is this your card? No." And they say, "Now check your back pocket," and you say, "No,
no." And then it's in your shoe.
And then you pull it out, and you're like, "Ah!" Like that is the same thing of watching somebody so locked in because you have to go, "This can't be possible."
And it was so funny because while it was happening, also you could see that like, whatever game plan or scheme that the Warriors were playing with, they gave it up. And it was very obvious that their game plan was, okay, everybody just pass to Clay. And they were passing him the ball in ridiculous positions, like spots where he had no business touching the ball. And like no one could do anything about it. And he was just, he was tossing things up without looking. Like he was legit taking bad shots and everything just went in.
Yeah. He could not stop. He couldn't have missed if he was trying to miss.
Yeah.
I feel like at one point he might have been like, all right, I'm gonna actually try and shoot this off out of bounds, like miss the backboard, and it went in. There's a great clip that Jabari put on the docket. It was not in the finals, but it has to do with Clay. I don't know. It's Andre Iguodala calling travel on Clay during the season. Have you seen this clip?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Clay's getting his feet set, and it's just a good like teammate moment. Because he does travel, he shuffles his feet. He kind of does like that Harden step back where it's like, oh,
a little wait, what shuffle did I just step.
See? Yeah, what did my eyes just see? That's not legal. But usually the decorum, speaking of decorum, the decorum for NBA teams is not to call travel on your own team.
Nah. But you know,
here, let's hit play. Like the shot is going up, he's on the baseline doing the
traveling arm, you know, the ref gesture,
doing the traveling arm ref gesture while imitating the foot shuffling with his own feet, stood up to make fun of him, and the ref didn't call it, which was
great.
Nice of that. But I love the Warriors after, you know, these finals, and I am starting to really like the Celtics. Everything you read about Udoka is like
so good. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Cool. Really, really like him. So I'm not where I was before, Celtics fans. Okay. Got nothing on the line here, as opposed to, you know, Lakers fans who might have something. I don't know.
Fragile,
but I don't know any Lakers fans, do I?
Nah. None that aren't tortured beyond belief. I do have a question though, Sarah. You know, as a fan of the game and someone who's witnessed some fantastic moments, do you have a favorite finals moment since we're in the finals? Something that just warms your heart when you think about it?
Yeah, I do like emotional moments. And so when I think of favorite finals moments, I think of, often think about when Dirk, when the Mavs won and Dirk had to leave the court so that he could like stop himself from crying.
Yeah.
And like when it means that much to someone, it makes me feel like good. I'm glad they won. Like they deserve it. Cause if a guy, like when guys don't feel emotionally invested, I'm like, well, give it to the guy that's crying then. Like,
right.
I want them right. to, I want it to tear them up. I want it to matter. Like if a team loses in the finals, I want it to eat at them and I want it to really matter. And a team wins the finals, I want it to be like, I want to see that it's the greatest glory in the world for them. I want to be able to see it.
And what better indicator than this?
It's the time's running out on the Heat. And Dirk just
immediately runs to the tunnel and leaves the court.
Yeah.
As to the point where, like, you can't believe he won. He just won the finals.
He's crying into his jersey.
The emotions of Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah.
What he's always dreamed of, hoping to have another chance after the bitter loss in 2006. An unlikely playoff run capped off by Dallas upsetting LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and the favored Miami Heat.
It's one of those things where you can just tell, right, how important every single action they've done in their life is to build towards that moment.
Right.
And when you get there, some people, you see people all the time, like in the Olympics, some people collapse.
Right.
Because they can't believe it.
I love it.
Some people are just overjoyed. But that's like kind of, I think that's the thing we all love about sport, is because when you're watching it, you can tell these people are so dedicated to a singular purpose. And when they get there, there's nothing sweeter than that. And you're like, oh, where's the finals for podcasting?
See, I find it helpful to collapse before, like during the competition, because then I never win it and there's no emotions at stake. So just physically collapse, emotionally collapse, like the second anything's on the line at all.
Wait, there's stakes?
Yeah.
No, I truly, in my personal life, I really understand an emotional collapse.
To preserve ourselves. Yeah,
I cried because someone else scored 37 points. So I can't imagine what, I wouldn't be able to physically handle it if the stakes were high for me.
Mm. All right. Should we take a quick break and then we'll come back and hit you with some lightning round questions?
Sure.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. LifeLock monitors and alerts you to identity threats you may miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become the victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve identity theft issues on your behalf. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Why wait for your tax refund in vain? Help protect your information immediately with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 25% your first year. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Identity theft protection starts here.
And we're back. And I think this is our new tradition is we like to close out the show with some rapid fire questions with our guest. So, Sarah, when we ask these questions, just don't even think, just react. Give us your answer.
Perfect.
And because we just want to pick your brain. And let's start the clock now. Jack, you may begin the questioning.
We call it a lightning round because lightning is fast. And so the idea is that these are like questions we're going to ask fast.
Super
and then
quick.
Oh, it's really
quickly.
Good when you have to explain it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just FYI,
what's lightning?
Full background. just wanted to make sure you weren't caught unaware.
Real quick.
And so now I'm going to ask the question, as Miles mentioned 30 seconds ago.
Right,
I'm
but going before to that. Before that, we'd like to mention, we like this segment to be so quick, you know, just no reason to draw this out. We want this to be super quick so people get a lot of information really quickly.
Is the segment
we
like think over Jordan pool or shot. Has it started?
Think Jordan pool shot so far,
so
right?
So far.
So
we're
far.
Thinking quick. So take the far, place with quick.
And
mental.
Away we go.
Go. Which is a line from The Dark Knight.
Dark Knight.
Which is, the Joker says it.
Yes.
And
who played him again?
Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger. That's right.
And what we're doing is balancing the ledger with some questions. number one, best NBA arena not named Vivint.
I love Little Caesars Arena, the new Detroit Arena. That's a very good one. Ty, I love the Hornets Arena. Madison Square Garden is obviously legendary. But also Little Caesars, those are just, they're really good arenas, great places to watch a basketball game. Also the Suns Arena, it's Footprint Center, I think is now the name of it. But I feel like those are very good arenas.
Nice.
Wow. I had not heard the thing about the Pistons or the Hornets.
As someone who loves crazy bread, I mean, say less. I'm there.
The thing is also I don't know how or why, but the Little Caesars food at Little Caesars Arena is better than you'll get it anywhere else. Oh,
I love that.
That makes sense. They're saving their fastball up.
Speaking of food, which arena has the most underrated food? And I know you said Little Caesars, so that gets in there, but expand on that, please. Are there any other places?
So, I mean, I'm speaking to like the media dining, which is not going to be the fan experience, like eating out on the concourse. And so the Houston Rockets, they've always got like a beautiful charcuterie board in the media room.
Oh.
And I'm like, yes, I would love some brie and some like fresh Kalamata olives. Thank you.
Whoa. Okay.
In comparison, right? If Houston's coming with the charcuterie, what are you used to usually for your media meal?
I don't know, like a really dry buffet chicken breast that's just been really overcooked. And then like a hot dog that's on a stale bun.
Okay, fantastic.
Which, like, I'll eat. I'll do it.
All right. Young player, you expect to take the leap next season. So Ja would be our example for this season. Is there a young player who you think next year we're going to all be talking about them on shows like Mad Boosties, which is most people's touchstone for, like, you know, NBA content?
Feels like a cop-out to say, like, Evan Mobley, but he's so good. He's so good.
Yeah.
I love Evan Mobley and Scotty Barnes. Like, those are guys that I am absolutely certain are going to be great. So I'm watching them.
Okay. Next question. 96 Bulls or the 16 Warriors in a series?
Ooh. 96 Bulls.
Okay.
Two players from the 90s you'd love to see in today's game.
Dennis Rodman, Larry Bird.
Oh, yeah. I love that answer.
I want a guy who, like, doesn't need to be provoked to punch someone. Like, he comes into the game in a good mood and thinks, I might punch someone tonight.
Let me turn this up a little
bit. Yeah. And also, like, I just think those guys could play in any era of basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rodman is such a good example of, like, the kind of Draymond thing and, like, you know, people underrated thing that I think we saw a little bit in the, like, Last Dance, but like how much studying he does on like
energy merchant.
Yeah. Watching
The ball hits the room. It goes ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And finally, you can fill Utah's coaching void, bit of a thought experiment, with any available candidate. What direction are you going in? You like in a D'Antoni, a Vogel, Stotts, an assistant?
There's two different ways to answer this question, right? It's like, if I am GM and I'm running the ship, what am I doing? Or what do I think is best for the people that are already in those positions? If I'm running
you can't say Miles or me. You can't say Miles or me.
If I'm running everything, first thing I'm doing is just blowing it up. Like, I'm trading everyone. I'm bringing on like expiring contracts and just like trying to stockpile assets, because I don't think that they can get better through trading right now. And in that case, then I want someone that's going to do really well for young players. And so I wouldn't have waited so long and I would have got Kenny Atkinson. But now that that doesn't seem like it's a choice, I kind of think that Fizdale would be really good.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a good one. I thought you were going to say you'd blow it up so that you could move them to a different market, like the owner from the movie Major League. But that's also a good strategy. I like that. All right. Well, you have passed our lightning round. I know you probably like didn't even realize that it started.
No,
so quickly.
I didn't.
See, told you real quick.
Sarah Todd, such a pleasure having you on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties, and now of course you have officially, by appearing on the show, co-endorsed the idea that Miles and I both have Mad Boosties.
Yep.
And we can use you as a reference for that fact. I used to be able to touch net. Miles, I think, still can touch rim. So
I get rim,
no big deal.
No big deal.
Can't get the ball through there, though. Just me with my hand grabbing the rim. But, Sarah, where can people find you and listen to you, your podcast or your work? Where do they catch you?
You can find me nowhere near the rim. I cannot touch rim. You can find me on the defensive end or on all the social medias at NBA Sarah. And you can listen to the podcast Unsalvageable. And if you want to read about the Utah Jazz, all my stuff's at Deseret.com, Deseret.
All right. Go do it. Go listen to the podcast.
Yes, yes.
Sarah Todd, one of our favorite guests. It's been such a pleasure having you.
Can I just say that you guys have mad boosties?
Yeah. Oh, you did it. And that's
we've
that's
had
locked
so
in.
Many guests come on and not one of them have said that at the end. I feel like I'm the old man in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, the old knight, and just had suitor after suitor come and just wither away. And finally, we have somebody who has chosen wisely and complimented our boosties. I thought it would be good to take a long walk on a movie reference with somebody who has already said they don't watch a lot of movies and don't get movies.
I'm not a monster. So. I've seen all of the
Indiana Jones.
I thought you were going to say that I tore your heart out.
No. No, you have made me feel very good about myself.
Thank you. Wow. Wipe those tears off, Jack.
I'm not crying. There's something in my eyes.
Here, I'll do the outro then. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. Enjoy game three. Although
they've already enjoyed game three. Enjoy game four.
Four, yeah.
Five.
I will enjoy game three. I'm speaking to us.
Okay.
And this is a
and
professional podcast.
And you enjoy game three, sir.
I will. And to you as well. Thanks so much, y'all. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.